Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
I feel like there's so much going on today on this Thursday. Happy to be with us. Let's start with some good news for once, shall we?
Sure, why not? It'll be a nice fur first.
Well, it's good, and then there's a caveat. The good news is that the list of 40 airports has been released by the FAA, where the FAA is cutting back on flights. We heard that was a possibility. I didn't think it was going to happen this fast. I thought this is going to be a next week thing. So the good news is that Kansas City is not on that list. I'm a little surprised at a few airports that are, but we are not on that list. That's great. The bad news is that it's going to affect us anyway. The bad news is that I think they started with 4% of flights. They're going to work their way up to 10% of flights. The bad news is that airplanes have to get places, and that if you cancel a flight out of Dallas and we will end up being a part of this mess.
Yeah, we don't have a lot of flights that are direct flights going out of KCI to Paradise. So they... You know, you connect to a lot of different places, and if those places are experiencing shortages and reductions, then you're going to be experiencing it.
Your connection will be affected.
Right. It's not that, you know, we aren't as directly affected, but it still is. And also, you know, how much are airfares going to go up with this? If they're reducing the amount of flights...
I will be honest. I feel like that is air because the schedules are already out for pretty far ahead. Mm-hmm. If this goes on for a while, maybe, I don't know. It'll be interesting because what I would love to know, like the formula where airlines decided which flights to cut. But my guess is going to be they cut the flights to that because it's all about money, right? So they cut the flights that were the least full. Uh-huh. Because it affects the fewest number of passengers and they lose the least amount of money. Those passengers are going to try to rebook those flights on other flights that exist. And if not on the airline they have, then on other airlines. Or they're just going to look at cities that aren't as important. Business travelers are going to be fine, right? Because those planes are full. Mm. So let me give a little bit of advice. First of all, flykc.com is where you can see the entire flight schedule out of KCI. We got a few flights that are delayed right now. Not a big deal yet. We'll see what's going to happen. Again, they started at 4% of flights. They're going to work their way up to 10%. If your flight is affected, I know one of the first questions you're asking is, number one, how do I rebook? And number two, do they owe me anything? Do airlines owe me anything? And it's going to depend. We've never been in this situation before. This is a new one for us where the FAA decides and worked with airlines to cancel these flights. The first thing I would tell you is immediately contact your airline and do it in multiple different ways at the same time if you can. Tweet at them, like X at them, direct message them on X, and call their customer service line. Do everything at one time and use whatever you get through to first. And call them, get in contact with them the second you find out that your flight has been canceled and see what you can do. And be looking at their schedule at the same time online. I mean, the more ways that you can approach that at once, the better off you're going to be. I would also be looking, if you know that you have flights scheduled in the next few weeks, I would already be looking perhaps and just have an idea of alternate options.
Right. Because again, you cut 10% of flights at hubs. MCI
that will ripple effect KCI
isn't one of them, but yeah, that ripple effect is going to be bad, because they use the same planes and crews. It's not just about the airports, it's about who's working on the ground and in the air. So you're going to see weird stuff, you know, like a KCI flight canceled because the jet never got out of Newark, or your return trip is going to be pushed to the next day because the crew hit their legal duty limit on a Dallas taxiway for 3 hours.
And we still have TSA. We still have air traffic controllers that are overstaffed and are, I mean, that situation has not been resolved at all. In fact, I have a story in front of me that said the FAA is warning of a possible ground stop at Houston's Bush Airport today. So, and that could happen. I mean, and that's because of air traffic controllers.
Yeah.
Might I also point out, we are approaching Thanksgiving and a couple of the busiest travel days of the year. And if this shutdown does not end before that, this will be monumental disaster. Happy traveling.
It's going to be bad. And I don't see this shutdown ending at any point.
I don't
either. The president's solution to it is we need to end the filibuster. And Republicans are like, we're not doing that. What would end the shutdown would be getting rid of ACA tax subsidies and charging people on ACA 300% for their premiums, 300% more for their premiums. And obviously, Democrats aren't willing to do that. So I don't see where the end is gonna. We're now, this is the record, right? And it's
we're past it. Yeah.
It is a shameless default on leadership that you control both houses and the White House and you have a shutdown. I wouldn't care if it's a Democrat, a Republican, independent, a Whig party. I don't care. When you have that control and you're so trenched in and you refuse to negotiate, this is what happens. Yeah. This is what happens.
It is. But there, and I wish there was something we could do about that right now, but there's not. So we still don't know exactly when SNAP benefits are going out. So there's a lot. We have several immediate problems now, or how much is going to go out. Yeah. So we are working to get, Quentin is working right now to get the CEO of Ascendus Travel on with us probably tomorrow, because a bunch of questions are going to come up now. If you already have travel plans, if you're thinking about it, I mean, all that. So we have a list of questions, and thanks to them for getting back to us so quickly to be able to come on with us tomorrow is significant. So we will start that list of questions.
You know, and it's as far as air traffic control, TSA maintenance, all that stuff, it's just something we take for granted. Like if there's one positive to the shutdown, it's that people are realizing, oh man, like wait, these people aren't getting paid during a shutdown. That's ridiculous. You know, how are they not getting paid? That of course they don't want to work. Of course they are going into work on the promise that one day they're going to get paid. Meanwhile, the government is still trying to find a loophole so they don't have to give them back pay, or they can give it reduced and spread it out over the course of the year. That kind of stuff, air traffic control, TSA maintenance, all that stuff is boring, invisible, unsexy government work right up until this happens. Up until
around the holidays.
Up too. Until this happens.
It's the worst time of year.
Yeah.
For any of this to be happening. So, all right, we'll keep an eye on it. Mm-hmm. Coming up at 1 o'clock, Wayside Waves is going to be in studio.
Yeah.
I know that some of you texted in questions yesterday. Mm-hmm. If you have them, 913-586-7798, they always bring somebody in with them, and that'll be fun. Let me also mention that KC Pet Project just put up on their Facebook page a few minutes ago. They are at capacity.
Wow.
KC Pet Project is at capacity. Remember, KC Pet Project, although they don't do the Cindy's Animal Control anymore, they get the pets that Animal Control picks up. They're still the shelter for KC Animal Control. And they just did a really big adoption event a weekend or two ago where they had a bunch of pets adopted. So the fact that they're already at capacity again tells you how many pets are coming in. You can go to their website. They also put out on their Facebook page that if your pet has been lost, if you've lost your pet, check their website, because they'll post that. It's on a section on their website, and see if they have your pet that's been lost. For 5 days, whatever pet they get goes into like a probationary period, sort of, where you don't have to pay fees and stuff. If they've picked up your pet and yours was lost, great. They're happy to give it back to you. They also are, and they put this out, and we can talk to Wayside Waves about this too, but they need fosters. They need people to adopt pets. I mean, anything that clears shelter space is something that they would benefit from.
And if it's bad now, it's only going to get worse. Yeah. I mean, it's bad now for a lot of reasons. I'm not blaming necessarily the shutdown for this, but, you know, that the sacrifices people have to make when things get tight. They might not be able to afford to take care of their pet anymore and have to turn their pet over to a shelter. But then I know for a fact that shelters get very busy after Christmas in January, because maybe you bought a pet for Christmas and it turns out it's not a right fit for your family. It happens way too often. So you're 100% right. If you can foster a pet, if you can just take them into your house, that's a amazing thing to do, Jamie.
They even need foster fill-ins because you'll have...
What's a foster fill-in?
So when you have... like in the last 2 months, as I've had a Claire, and if you can't hear her, she's very upset to be outside right now. If I needed to be gone for a few days, then there are fosters that would fill in for me and take that dog for a few days. So even if you only have a week available, it means that that dog doesn't have to go back to KC Pet Project while the foster is gone. Okay. It means that it just goes to another foster home. A Claire goes to her adopted home today. I mentioned she is just having a fit. I'll get out there in a minute. She's running around because
can that happen
squirrels
sooner?
And leaves and everything. And but so thank you. It was actually a listener that connected me to the family that has adopted her. A lot of people were asking me questions on Instagram about it. There were several people that said, I was ready to adopt her, which is great. But she, after 2 months, she goes home today. And no, I'm not okay. And it's been a teary week or so, but she's pounding on the back door. But it's a good thing to do.
She's trying to make it easier for you right now.
So she probably because she can hear me in here too. She's in the backyard, and when she wants in, she headbutts the back door.
Yeah.
It makes a very clear statement that she wants in. But I mention it in part because 6 months ago, I didn't like dogs. I was indifferent about dogs. And then I started to see a lot of social media posts about Dogs Day Out, which KC Pet Project also does, where you just take a dog out for a few hours and go have fun. And after doing that for a while, I thought, I think I can do the next step. And now here we are. So it's, foster.
So when is the step after this happening?
What are you talking about?
You know what's the step after this.
Eclair's going to her permanent home this afternoon.
No, not for Eclair, for you.
I am not ready. I am not there.
Still not ready?
No, I am not there.
Going to get another foster dog?
Listen, I am a very good foster. I will say, like, I wrote out a long list of notes for the new adopted home. Credit to KC Pet Project, who let me wait for the family that was the right fit. I passed on a couple that I didn't think were a good fit, and this one absolutely is. My life is a little unpredictable, and some days I'm on the run a lot more, and there's only one of me to come in and make sure the dog is being let out and all that kind of stuff. I'm a good fit for being a foster. I can't say it won't happen. Like, you never say never, but for right now, this is a good thing that I can do. And they always say, like, just think about the next dog.
Right.
Just think about the next dog that you're going to help.
Well, plus they need fosters right now. Would you be willing to take more than one dog?
At a time?
Yeah.
What's my love? What's my bandwidth for chaos? Let's see. I don't know. It's maybe
two big dogs.
That would be puppies? Better.
Oh, puppies? No, you can't take puppies. I mean, unless you got to work from home.
I am not skilled at training yet. I mean, like, there are a lot of things that I'm very, very new at, and so I'm not skilled at training dogs yet. So no, I don't think I'm ready for puppies. I think more than one dog at a time.
Take two big dogs. Big dogs are the best.
I don't need two big.
No, they're the best. Eclair
is 45
dogs.
Pounds. Mm-hmm. She's medium size. Yeah. That's perfect size.
That's what I mean. That size, medium size dogs. I don't mean Great Danes. I just mean larger. Okay. Don't get two little yap yaps, you know.
No, I don't
Fred and
that.
Ginger's bouncing around the house. You don't need that. I'm saying get like a two retrievers. Get a basset hound. Get five. Get six dogs. You know, at a certain point, they just
How
start watching.
How big do you think my house is?
They start watching each other. That's what's the great thing about dogs is you get enough.
I have thought about
one of them takes charge.
I have wondered. Like, here's how you can tell I don't have kids, because I don't know. I thought, well, does Eclair get bored? Like, I wonder human questions about the dog, and I've wondered, like, does she need a friend? to keep her entertained and stuff when I'm not here? Does she get bored? Does she get depressed then? Does she get lonely? So I don't know.
I don't know. My dog, I think he would. We've thought about that with Gordon. And then we're like, if we get him a friend, he'll just hate us. He'll be like, wait, that guy's getting more attention than me now. I realize what's going on, by the way. You just bought a replacement for me.
There are some people that I've seen that will get a new dog like in the last year of what they think is going to be their current dog's life so that they have one kind of ready to go for when their dog passes.
That's not terrible, I guess.
It just is kind of.
It makes the transition a little bit easier because then you don't feel like I'm only getting a dog because one died. It's not like you're just flopping one up on the table and be like, hey, I'm another one. Hey, coming up.
So
copper thefts are up all across Jackson County. In fact, across Missouri in general. Guess where we rank nationally for copper thefts? We are.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Aren't number one, but we definitely aren't 50th. We'll talk about that next on Midday.
Jackson County Prosecutor Melissa Johnson, man, it's one thing after another. If only she knew what she was getting herself into when she signed up for this job. In addition to everything else that's going on, copper thefts are at their highest levels ever, with a 3,000% increase since 2018. They are, and they're getting more cases that are being referred to prosecutors now than they used to also. Frankly, she's taking on a lot more cases than the previous prosecutor ever was willing to. AT&T says Missouri ranks second in copper thefts. Yay!
We're not number one. We're not number one.
St. Louis, out of large cities, ranks fifth. We are 11th, which is nothing to be proud of.
I always love, Kansas City does this a lot with stuff where it's like, well, it's because of St. Louis, right? I mean, they're like the worst city in the whole country. They're fifth, that's why. Oh, we're 11th. Crap. But it's like with crime. You're like, well, Missouri crime's only back in St. Louis. I mean, St. Louis is like the first worst. What is Kansas City? Oh, we're like sixth. Oh, man, that sucks.
I mean, the facts are what they are.
Yeah.
I guess in this case. But I started to wonder about, as we hear about this so much, I start to wonder a couple things. Can we use something other than copper? Like, as we're building new whatever, can we use a different material that is not so in demand to steal?
So attractive to thieves?
Yeah. Is there another building? If you have expertise in building materials, I'm curious about how do you cut down on copper thefts, I think is what I'm, because the costs associated with it. I mean, what can you do differently?
From what I've read, though, it's not that lucrative to steal copper. Like, when you scrap it, you don't get that much money.
Why do so many people do it?
Because it's $2 billion a year is what gets scrapped in copper. So that's a lot. But it's also a lot of people stealing a lot of copper spread out over that is not that much. So and what you're getting from these buildings when you strip it, if you're just getting cables and things like that, it's not that much. So I don't understand why it's, unless you and a team of guys are just going around stealing and stealing and stealing and stealing, and you have a group and you're just going through every vacant building and every abandoned business you possibly can. I don't really see why it's such a lucrative crime for some people.
The problem is the amount of damage that is done. And I'm going to guess the amount of the damage is a lot higher than the amount of money they're going to get for the copper. But Channel 5 talked to Rainbow School here in Waldo. Thieves targeted their copper gutters multiple times last August. They said it was over $8,000 worth of damage. And the school went months without gutters after repeated thefts. They tend to hit they always think if they can hit one building once, they'll go back and they'll get more and go back and hit it again.
And the problem when you do that is the you're stripping, you know, wiring that they need to run electricity and internet and gutters that to protect the building from rain. It's bad. The only thing I can think of is start going after scrap yards for taking this in. If somebody comes in with a bunch of church gutters and 70 yards of copper wire, they probably didn't just get that from some demo, you know, like maybe they need to have credentials. Maybe these things need to be licensed before they're able to, you know, scrap it.
Yeah. I mean, it's the same thing we used to talk about a lot. Grace and I used to talk about this a lot, about pawn shops and about pawn shops wanting to make sure that the stuff that they take in hasn't been stolen, and that it's easier kind of to go to them and put the responsibility on the buyer of the stuff than it is to go to the, you know, the buildings in the first place.
Yeah.
Can we make gutters out of something not copper that's not as attractive to steel? I mean, plastic or metal?
Well,
the ones on houses?
The reason why, I think, is copper is still relatively cheap for buildings to use. So I don't know,
but
that...
But then it's the expense. It's when it's stolen.
Yeah, but metal prices have been going up. So I don't know. I mean, it's bad, but I don't know what you could use that would be a good replacement for it. Like, you need a conductive metal for that. And then some of it is also, it's not necessarily new buildings that are having the copper stolen.
Oh, it's
from
the
them.
Older buildings.
It's the older buildings.
Yeah,
so even
absolutely.
If you built new buildings without copper, it's not going to affect what's going on, because they're going in and into abandoned buildings or businesses that have shut down for a minute or whatever. I'm not shocked that it's gone up over the last couple of years. I am shocked that it wasn't way worse, like during the pandemic.
Yeah.
Like,
because it didn't go up more earlier.
Right. Because like during the pandemic, people weren't working. There weren't a lot of businesses were closed. Would have been a prime time to just go in and start ripping the copper out of everything. But I guess people are getting, you know, subsidies and their government checks, then maybe it's not as bad.
So she's taking it seriously. She says they've charged 87% of the copper wire theft cases submitted to her office for consideration, which she calls a very high charging rate. I would imagine that a lot of the buildings that they're targeting, because they're commercial, have cameras. And it's pretty easy to figure out, not that you can always find who did it, but it's easy to figure out who it is, at least. And I'm going to guess that once they are able to get away with it once, that they keep hitting other buildings, you know, because there's that high of, you know, we did it once now.
It once,
and so,
let's go back.
If you have expertise, comments, 913-586-7798.
Let's go to Jim in Shawnee. Hey, Jim.
Hi.
Hey.
I have rental property, and I took an air conditioning unit down that had been, I had a new one put in, and they wouldn't take it from me. I had to be an HVAC guy to get the recycled money out of it, because it was anything to do with heating and cooling. A couple of them, some of them were just the fins that were on a water deal that they heated with the water, and they wouldn't even take those. And those have been out of a building for years, but they've had to do with HVAC. The other thing is that once they steal from you, I have a lawn service, and they took all my weed eaters and blowers out of my trailer locks, and I put better trailer locks on. About a month later, they knew I had to replace it. They came back, cut the hinges off.
Oh my God.
The doors to get the new stuff. And so I put a steel box in there so they couldn't steal it. Once they got in, they couldn't steal that anymore out of the box. So they came back a month later, they couldn't steal it. So they took my truck and trailer and everything.
It was when you went and they did it, back to the AC unit, was it because of the amount you're trying to scrap?
No. If it had anything to do with HVAC.
Okay, just because it's HVAC. I got it.
Because of that. Hmm. And they could do the same thing with the gutters, at least prove that you're a rehabber or something.
But
I bought a house, and they stripped all the wiring out of that house. Every bit of it. I mean, there wasn't anything left. Not even outlets.
A while, it was also catalytic converters. That was a big thing, is they were going underneath people's cars and stealing their catalytic converters, because those have copper in them. And selling those off.
I have a Toyota Tundra, and they're really bad about it.
Yeah.
And they stole the Toyota Tundra when I bought it before they could deliver it to me. Mm-hmm. They stole both of them, or I think there's four on it. They stole them all, and the dealership had to replace them, and then they left it inside the building until I picked it up, because at Toyota Tundras are targeted like that.
Yeah. All right, Jim, thanks for your call. Really appreciate it.
Yeah.
And yeah, I was just looking at the laws for Missouri and Kansas as well. You need a government ID for the seller. You record what you sold, when, and often how much, and you keep those records available for police for a certain time. I guess the problem is, if you're going to steal copper, you can easily get a fake ID to resell it.
Yeah.
And you could also probably find a less reputable scrapyard that's not going to necessarily care about your ID or how much you're selling or whatever. Or if they aren't, if there's a certain load amount, and I can't find that, if there's certain like poundage that if it's under that, then they don't have to get an ID. Then you just spread it out over like right. 10 different scrapyards and just make your way around. So it's definitely a problem, though, because it's not just stealing stuff. If it was going in and stealing merchandise, that'd be bad.
Oh, yeah. It's
but
the damage.
That's replaceable. It's the fact that it shuts these businesses and schools and churches down. Not to mention, if you're stealing catalytic converters, then that's somebody's car. They can't get to work now.
Yeah.
And when you steal a catalytic converter, it makes your car more pollution. I mean, because that's what it does. It takes in the chemicals and it converts it into carbon dioxide and water. It's made of palladium.
Yeah, I know that because my catalytic converter stopped working on my very first car, and I didn't know it for a while.
Yeah,
until
we had a minivan.
Like, smelled like smog pulling up into school.
We had a minivan, and someone stole one of the two catalytic converters on it.
Really?
And when my dad went to sell the car to like a scrapyard because it had a bajillion miles on it, at first they wouldn't take it because it had one of the catalytic converters stolen on it. But because it still had one of them left, they ended up taking it. So there are some scrap yards that won't even take it because they're like, well, in theory, you could take your catalytic converters off of it, sell the car, and then sell the converters separately.
Wow.
So there are like some reputable places out there.
All right, 913-586-7798. Copper theft is a growing concern in Jackson County, but Missouri statewide. What could we possibly do about it? 913-586-7798. Your comments coming up on Midday.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Copper thefts in Jackson County have reached sky-high levels. Jackson County Prosecutor Melissa Johnson said copper thefts are at their highest level ever, 3,000% increase from 2018 to 2025. And we were thinking out loud and asking a little bit about, well, then can you use something else? Can you use something other than copper, especially with new construction? Thanks for listening, Mom. My mom just texted me and said, when her house was replumbed last year, the plumber replaced a lot of her copper tubing with PEX, P-E-X tubing. And I looked it up, and there are words in this I can't pronounce, but it's essentially plastic. It's essentially flexible plastic. And okay. She said it works fine.
Polyethylene. There you go.
Yeah. And there are a lot of articles about PEX versus copper pipes and people that do that.
We had a plumbing emergency in a house I lived in that was a lot older, and they replaced everything with plastic tubing too, and probably made some money getting rid of the old copper stuff that was in there. But copper. You know, I didn't care. I didn't pay for it, and I had a landlord.
My brother had cast iron pipes in his house, and he had to replace them when one of them broke. And they got replaced with PVC.
Was his house made in the 900s?
It's an old house.
Okay,
cast iron.
I have in my basement, when I just had my plumbing inspection not that long ago, I have the water valve that comes into my house that controls the pressure that I get from the city. That is made of cast iron.
Oh, wow.
My house was built 75 years ago, and it's at the point now where it needs to be replaced. I'm looking at alternatives for replacing that piece.
You know, sometimes I say something like, wow, cast iron is so old. And then I just know when I go back to the text line, there's going to be the cast iron fans out there who'd be like, you don't understand. Cast iron's the most efficient form of blood. And the degreasing amount that you see on that and the rust actually isn't that bad. From the text line, our church at Independence had the AC unit stripped a few years ago for copper. Insurance helped out, but our summer budget got wrecked. These are not victimless crimes. And a lot of people just saying they got ripped off from copper thieves. Scrapyards absolutely know what's going on. If you're bringing in burned wire three times a week, they're not confused. They are choosing the money. And I think this is a good point. Some of this is drug addiction. I would say most of it is drug addiction. But the 4215 says some of this is drug addiction, but you can care about the addiction and still say, no, you do not get to dismantle my neighborhood for parts. Yeah, I would say a lot of this is just desperation and, can't get an opportunity, can't get a job, can't make enough money. Because again, you would think that this would have gone up during the pandemic, but people were getting paid money. We were all getting those checks. So it was, I guess, less people felt like they needed to go out and steal copper.
I'd love to know how much it's up just in the last year with the prices of groceries and everything going up so high just in the last year.
Yeah.
Because I bet it's significant.
Oh, I guarantee that plays a huge part in it. Right. I mean, it might not even be. And that's increasingly what happens as life gets more expensive and wages continue to stagnate and groceries continue to go up, is that you're going to see people who weren't committing crimes before going like, well, my buddy said that we can make a bunch of money by stripping copper from a place. It's an abandoned building. Who cares?
Yeah.
It's a victimless crime. That's fine.
And who's going to notice?
And
you know, they're not going to notice for a while anyway.
Yeah. From the text line, I run a small business. We had copper stolen off of our building. Between the repair and lost time, it cost me more than a month in profit. I still have not caught up. So it's not just abandoned buildings. It's just buildings that are available to steal. I mean, that's why it was so many of them were catalytic converters too. Mm-hmm. Which did that go down as there's not as many catalytic converters anymore there, Quentin, Mr. Car Guy?
No, I mean, like I said, some cars have two trucks, like work trucks are a big one because they're farther off the ground, so they're easy to slide under, and they're not that hard to get off. I mean, if you have an electric saw and you just boop, boop, and you're done.
Okay, I am seeing that there's been a 68% drop in catalytic converter thefts over the last couple of years, though. Why?
I don't know. That shocks me because, I don't know, maybe palladium isn't worth what it used to
maybe.
Be.
Maybe.
Or there are, like, you can put cages around your catalytic converter.
That could be, too.
Like, that's what the company I worked for, a couple of their trucks, maybe, they had to put.
Maybe palladium and platinum, rhodium, that's in there as well, aren't as valuable.
Maybe.
Yeah. Because everybody was stealing the catalytic converters, there was a glut. There was the supply and demand. The supply was too high.
A lot of people, you know, you'll put your car you'll put them in the garage, you know, or like I said, some people will put like metal cages around them to make it more difficult to steal.
Yeah, that could be too, like it that people were protecting them more, you know. Yeah.
Wasn't there also an effort to get them like imprinted somehow so that you could identify them, so that again when you tried to sell it it would be imprinted
numbers.
With the VIN or serial number or something, so that.
But it seems like you would file that off. Maybe it's just law enforcement. And they started saying, like, you're not allowed to take these in as scrap anymore. I don't know. Because
I mean, if you walk into a scrapyard with a catalytic converter, it's pretty clear what you did.
Right.
Like, if you go to a place with some copper, there's at least some plausible deniability there.
You want to mix some other things in with that, right? It's like going to a store and stealing just the things needed to make meth. or buying just
things. Breaking Bad about that. Yeah,
right, exactly. Like, don't spread it out. Buy some other stuff with this. Get at least a candy bar. Like, come on.
Don't buy everything in one place.
Stay out of my territory. I got from the text line, I get being desperate, but climbing up on a school roof to steal gutters is where my sympathy ends. Go clean yards. Don't rip off kids' classrooms. Yeah, it is. I mean, because it was, where was it at in Waldo where they stole a bunch of
Rainbow
copper?
School. It was I don't school. Know where that is right. exactly.
Yeah.
I can look it up and see, but yeah. And I don't, I assume, boy, somebody who works in construction needs to answer this question for me. In new construction, is there less copper? And so is that why they're going for the older buildings, or are newer buildings just more secure? Because I'm going to assume Rainbow School is, most schools are older. We don't build a lot of new schools as much as we used to. We don't need to. So, yeah.
Yeah, less solid copper is used, this is from the text line, is used for, compared to historically, like just in general with plumbing and things like that, electrical wiring, and they're using like copper clad aluminum, aluminum in general, and then the PEX tubing that your mom was talking about.
Yeah.
Yep.
Huh. Yep. Okay.
There you go.
This makes me wonder. This makes me want to go around because I know it makes me wonder where the copper is in my house, given how old this house is.
Maybe we just need to start sending checks to everybody again. There we go. Worked during the pandemic.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Hey. We could just do that now.
Oh, dang it. Again, Kansas City's down 100 million. I was saying we could just get a piece of city maybe, but
yeah.
Keep forgetting that we're short 100 million.
We could just pay people to not be criminals. It'd be nice. Coming up, speaking of criminals and speaking of theft, you know what the Louvre's password was?
Oh, my God, this story.
Just guess what the Louvre's password was. No matter what you guess, it's probably a better password than the password the Louvre was using. That's next on Midday.
Even Odyssey makes us change our password, or used to. We don't have to do this as much anymore. We used to change our password for the email like every 6 weeks, and it would have to have an exclamation point or capital letter or do something else. How does the most famous museum in the world have worse security than we do? And that's how it was able to be robbed, or part of it, of millions of dollars of stuff.
Right, because they were able to access, when they stole the stuff from the Louvre, they were able to access the video surveillance by using the password. And the password for the Louvre's video surveillance was the word Louvre. Now, maybe they were assuming it was if anybody's going to do this, it's going to be a bunch of dumb Americans who don't know how to spell Louvre. Like, wait, there's an R in there? I didn't know that. But
L-O-O-V?
This isn't Ocean's 11. This is password ABC. That's what this is.
Yes.
Yeah.
So there was a museum employee with knowledge of the system talked to ABC News and said, the museum security system, like the main password to the big security system, is Louvre. And that, and because I'm assuming this, there might have been an inside job, but it's like the first thing you would guess. Isn't it? Or password?
I mean, maybe not. Maybe we're underthinking it, under and overthinking it, because maybe they're like, no, everyone would assume it's going to be a harder password. So let's just make it a basic one. That way, all of our employees will be able to get it when they need to. And then we don't have to worry about somebody who needs to get into the system not being able to get in. And nobody's going to guess that it's Louvre, because that'd be too easy. Except for, actually, it is that easy. And most, I don't know about you, Jamie, and I'm not going to say the name of the password or the password for our Wi-Fi here. But I will tell you this. It's a hell of a lot more simple than the one I have at my house. My Wi-Fi at my house is way more complicated. Like, anytime somebody comes over and needs to use the Wi-Fi, I always have to, like, text it and send it to them. And then after they leave, I'll change it. I don't need other people to get my Wi-Fi. It's because you underestimate the people in charge of things like this, underestimate the intelligence of their employees. And they go, we can't have it something complicated, because then they'll be bothering us all the time and not being able to get to the password.
So they still have not recovered all of the jewels which they are never going to find them. I mean, at this point, and they, if I'm not mistaken, they're still looking for a couple of people.
Yeah.
Boy, 15 years and heavy fines. If the suspects are convicted, you're never going to get that money out of them.
Fines. Yeah. What are you going to have them pay back? These priceless jewels? Is the fine priceless?
Yeah, and a couple of the people that are involved have had a history of jewelry thefts in the past.
Yeah.
Not good at it, apparently. Not good at not being caught.
What's crazy about this, too, is they did an audit 14 years ago and found that this... I'm sorry, not 14, 11 years ago. It was in 2014, but whatever. They knew about this for over a decade, and they still didn't change anything because they're like, we'll circle right back to that, you know. Just got to take an 8-year coffee break. We'll get to it, you know.
Yeah.
It's nice to be talking as much as we, because we live here, are critical of American policies and things happening in America. It's nice when France does something even more dumb.
Especially with the Louvre.
With the Louvre, you would think. Well, and it's also because it's a country whose whole prestige is built on, we are smarter than you, you stupid Americans. Really? Yeah. Louvre was the password for the Louvre. Anyway, coming up, there's a new lottery in town. We'll talk about that next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.